Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
So, Father, as we look at the kingship of your Son, I'm praying that you would help us to see him for who he is and what that means in our life. I want to thank you, Lord, for who you are. Open up our eyes, not only to you, but to ourselves today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to take a look at that passage that was read. We're also going to, in John chapter 18, we're also going to take a look at some other passages today. I don't know if you've Christmas decorations. I want to say thank you to Lorna for making the place look so beautiful. So yeah, so give her a round of applause. If you're acquainted with the church calendar, then you will know that next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, and we don't do a whole lot with the church calendar. We celebrate Advent and Christmas and Lent and Easter, but today is Christ the King Sunday. It's also the day where I end up my series, The Power of. Today I want to look at the power of the King. We here at Asbury don't follow the calendar religiously, but I think it helps us today to be reminded of who Jesus is, that he is Christ the King. And I also want to talk about why that matters to you. Canada has a king, King Charles. For most of us, he is an interesting figurehead, but kind of irrelevant. But Christ the King is neither a figurehead nor irrelevant. In fact, if you understand this part of his identity, it will shape who you are. We live in a world that doesn't quite know what to do with authority. We live in a world where we're not even sure what authority is. In fact, many people in our world have disdain for authority. One of the prime values of Canadians is what is called the autonomous self. That's just a big word that four-year-olds sum up with this. You're not the boss of me, right? You ever hear some kids say that? You're not the boss of me. We believe that we should get to choose everything for ourselves. Of course, that's an illusion. You may think that you are choosing for yourself, but the algorithms of social media, the news reported and not reported, in mass media, all shape your opinion. We may think we're choosing for ourselves, but it is the advertisers that define the good life. It is the advertisers who tell us what we should want. It is the advertisers who put this picture of what the ideal life would be out for us. And many of us believe that we have come to our own opinion when, in fact, we have been swayed by the media, swayed by the opinion makers of our culture. That is true in mainstream media, and it's also true with conspiracy theorists. I wonder if I took a look at the country, if you wonder if this is true, look to the country to the south of us. You'll see this polarization of people, and the politicians there will spend hundreds of millions of dollars to get elected. Why do they spend that kind of money? Because advertising matters. Advertising shapes opinion. And they are a polarized nation, and although they are facing the same issues as a country, they can't talk to each other about it because each side thinks the other side is stupid. Why? Well, they listen to different medias and they listen to different things that they take to be authoritative. Many of our problems come down to the fact that we do not know who to trust. Do you trust Fox News or CBC? Do you trust the National Post or the Globe and Mail? Do you trust the clickbait on Facebook and Instagram? Do you trust that news article that was posted from an obscure source on Facebook? Do you trust the person who has a PhD in a particular area? Who do you trust? Now, I do not believe that most of the people that I have referred to set out to deceive us. I lived outside the gates of Carleton University for a number of years, and one of the strongest programs at Carleton University is their journalism program. And I have talked to a lot of journalism students over the years. You see, when a journalism student has a project where they need to get the opinion of a religious leader, what they do is they look for the closest church, call up the church office, ask for the pastor, and that was me. So over the years, I would talk to these journalism students, and over different articles they were writing for their class. And most of them were not trying to be biased. But when you ask to, but when you talk to people, you kind of get an idea where they're coming from, right? And the many of them, you got this idea that the only conception they had of Christians was the caricatures that you see in the media or on television, or worse yet, you must be like the evangelicals in America, and we get lumped in with that group. And the only thing that they understood was these caricatures, and in fact, you got a sense that they didn't understand what it meant to be a Christian at all. Many of them I didn't think could articulate the Christian story of around Christmas or Easter. They didn't have understanding of the Bible. Many of them just didn't have any concept. Now these students, they weren't evil. They weren't trying to mislead people. But they would go on to graduate and become writers for the prominent newspapers, for correspondents, or political analysts, or news anchors, so that when they're reporting on the issues of what is good and bad, moral or just, they had some significant blind spots. I tell you that because these kind of people are the ones who have become the opinion makers of our day. There's no conspiracy against Christians or against Christian values. There is just a lot of underinformed opinion makers spouting off ideologies that they don't even understand. My daughter Amy used to work at a Starbucks in downtown Ottawa, and she would hear her co-workers talking about Christians in a disparaging way. And Amy would say, but I'm a Christian. And they'd say, oh, well, we don't mean you. We mean those other people. Well, do you know any Christians? No. Like, and it was one of those things where our culture has got to such a place where many people don't have any relationship with any what we would call healthy Christians. We have come to this place in our country where, because of the power of mass media and social media, our opinions are being shaped. Often, we are unaware of how much they're being shaped, but they're being shaped by these opinions makers who have no frame of reference of what God would call good or right. And then, of course, you add into our culture the Russians and the Chinese who have been caught manipulating social media in order to manipulate opinion, in order to kind of sway the countries the way they want them to go. And so we're influenced by all of this without hardly realizing it. And all of a sudden we say, oh, I'm the boss of me, But in reality, our opinions have been formed, you know, by the opinion makers of the day. Yeah, our value is the autonomy of self, but we are swimming in the waters of a culture that forms so many of our opinions for us. What you wear, you know, what you think is good, what you drive, all those sorts of things are influenced by the culture that we live in. You know, what is good and bad? Well, you ask Canadians, and they're not getting those opinions. Those opinions are coming not from themselves, but from the cultural waters they've been swimming in. There is another way of living. If you have read the Gospels, then you will know that the Jesus message was one of about the kingdom of God. When he told the parables, he was talking about the kingdom of God. When he preached a sermon, he was outlining the culture of the kingdom of God. When he told us about the kingdom of God, he was telling us what the culture was like. Near the beginning of his ministry, this is what Mark records in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sin and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is near. That was the message that Jesus preached over and over again. Jesus went about preaching the good news, and the good news was that the kingdom of God was near. In our world, we are used to thinking of countries and states, of prime ministers and presidents. We are not used to thinking about kingdoms. It is not the language that we tend to use anymore. A kingdom can be made up of a country or a state. A kingdom might even be just as small as a walled city and the surrounding areas. But the primary feature of a kingdom was the king, or possibly a queen. Unlike most of the kings and queens that we are familiar with, the king in the kingdom had absolute authority in that kingdom. He was the ruler. He was the one who set the laws. He was the one who set the conditions as to whether the economy would thrive or not. The center of the kingdom was the king. Now, the people in Jesus' day would be much more familiar with the idea of a kingdom than we are. And when they heard the news that the kingdom of God is near, well, what they heard is that the rule of God is at hand. And the people who heard Jesus also understood that the God of this kingdom is good. This is good news. They understood that he is just, where they were very aware that they were being treated unfairly. They understood that it was a place when a place was ruled by God, it would be good. Think about what you know about heaven. Well, we know that it's a place of joy and of peace. We know that it's a place where tears have been replaced by this wonderful sense of well-being. We know that it's a place where rest and meaningful work. But the primary feature of heaven is God himself. He's at the center of heaven. He is the king, the ruler. Heaven is heaven because God's rule is honored, God's ways are followed. And because of that, there is joy, peace, love, grace, life. Now, when people heard that the kingdom of God was near, they heard that heaven was close by. In fact, if you read the Gospel of Matthew, instead of talking about the kingdom of God, he was writing for a particular audience, the Jewish people, and he would talk about the kingdom of heaven. He would use that phrase. There are times when here at Asbury we pray the Lord's Prayer. And what do we pray? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying for the kingdom of God, that how God runs heaven would come to earth. The kingdom of God is the range of God's effective will. In other words, what God says is carried out. His will is lived out in his kingdom. The kingdom of God is a kingdom where his rules are followed, where he's honored. And when you encounter a place filled with peace and joy and love, instead of quarreling and jealousy and anger, you're seeing part of the kingdom. When your relationships are filled with kindness and goodness and faithfulness, instead of selfish ambition and divisions and envy, you're seeing the kingdom. See, God's will is being carried out in those things. When you see a place where, well, people are getting the good they were meant to have, and they're being protected from the bad they weren't meant to receive, then you see the kingdom of God in places like that. It is seen as a place where God rules, and his rule is honored, and what he says is carried out, and he sets the culture of how we treat one another and how we approach him. You heard the story of Jesus standing before Pilate read. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" Jesus essentially answers yes. He says, "You say that I am." When the leaders try to get Pilate to crucify Jesus, he ends up being crucified, as you know, but there was a plaque, a sign put on the top of the cross, the King of the Jews. Pilate had talked to him, and he understood that Jesus was a king, but his kingdom was not of this world. And when the religious leaders of the day tried to get Pilate to change the sign to, "He said he was the King of the Jews," Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." You probably heard a lot of the names of Jesus. We sang some of them this morning. Jesus was pointed out by John the Baptist. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." One of the names of Jesus is the Lamb of God. In the book of Revelation, we see a future where evil is conquered and God's full rule and authority is restored. And it says in Revelation chapter 17 that the kings of this world will make war against the Lamb. And this is what it says. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen and faithful followers. When we see Jesus in the context of heaven, when he is revealed for all that he is, what do we see? Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is the king. He's at the center of the kingdom. He will rule and reign over all, but for now the kingdom is only in the place where his effective will is carried out. His kingdom is a place where what he wants to happen happens. It's Christ the King Sunday, where we are reminded about who Jesus is. Jesus has a lot of names. He is the Redeemer. and the Savior. We sang about how he was the wonderful counter, the counselor. He is the good shepherd. He is the light of the world. He is the Son of Man, the Son of God. But today, I want to remind you that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here's why that matters. We live in a country where we hold as one of our highest values the autonomy of self. I get to be the boss of me. We think that, and yet we're so influenced by the world around us that the opinions that we hold, the values that we hold, the thoughts about what is good and bad, right and wrong, are often formed by others, and sometimes often formed by Satan himself as he whispers his temptation into our ears. This culture is the water that we swim in, and we hardly notice anymore what the culture affirms. We value getting our own way, and yet we look around to people who live for themselves, and they're the boss of them, and oftentimes we'll see bitterness and despair and anger. And if we see, you know, somehow they've made something of themselves in the eyes of this world, we'll see a pride that's kind of gross sometimes. We value getting our own way, but there is another way. Jesus told us that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when you look around the world, you can see his fingerprints everywhere. There's so much brokenness. Lives have been broken. Hearts have been broken. The way we treat each other is broken. Those kind of things are not good. And Jesus said, Satan comes to kill and steal and destroy. But here's what John tells us in 1 John 3:8. The reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Imagine the devil going around and breaking all the toys and breaking all the stuff. And Jesus comes along and says, no, I'm going to put those together. I'm going to fix those. Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. So here's your choice. You can buy into the idea that you are the boss of yourself, that you're going to be your own boss. And you may even suspect, even as you think about that, and as I've been talking, that, I've been kind of deceived. My opinions have been formed not so much by me, but what I've been told. And, you know, we in this culture uphold people who say, I'm the boss of me. Frank Sinatra made the song famous, I did it my way, right? I'm the boss of me. Satan uses that process to insert lies into our nation, into our culture, into our own lives and minds, into our hearts. The other choice is to say, I'm choosing not to be my own boss. I am choosing to come under the lordship, the kingship of Jesus. I'm going to come under his authority. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to live out what he wants. I'm going to be an extension of his will in the world that I live in. And I'm doing this because I've seen his love and his compassion. And I've come to believe that his way is the best way. He is the king and he deserves to be honored. Heaven is heaven because they follow his way. I want to live in the middle of the kingdom even while I'm here on earth. This is where I'm going to look for peace and for joy. This is where I'm going to look for what God says is good and bad and right and wrong. So often happens in is that what often happens is that we say to Jesus, "You are my king." But then we try to pick the rules that we want to follow. We'll choose what we think is good, but then we'll put on our old boss hat and say, "Well, in this area, I'm the boss of me. Jesus is the king, but he doesn't force his kingdom upon us. He doesn't make us follow his rule and his reign. He gives freedom of choice. He allows us to choose whether we're going to come under his authority or not. But here's what happens. I know from personal experience, because I've done it, I imagine many of you have done it too. We call Jesus the King, and we receive Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. We've given our lives to him, and we promise to follow him, and we're made part of the family, and we're brought into the kingdom. We are forgiven. But then we say, I don't really want to follow God's rules in this area. Because we buy the lie that Satan told Adam and Eve. Did God really say? Does he know best? We buy the lie that, oh, we can choose better than God. We know what's right and wrong better than God. And, you know, you can do that for a while. And here's what happens. You're part of the kingdom of God. You've been immersed in it, and you're forgiven. You're a follower of Jesus. Jesus loves you. You're on your way to heaven. It's kind of like being a Canadian traveling into the States. As a Canadian, you have full rights of citizenship, and you're allowed to access what we can access. But all of a sudden, if you travel into the States, well, you're still a Canadian, but you are not under the protection of the government of Canada. You are swimming in the culture of the United States, and that can work well for a while. But if stuff starts to go sideways, what happens? Well, you're not protected the way you would be. You're kind of left out on your own. Now, God is always standing at the border with open arms and saying, "You can come back." In fact, God is so good that he is able to heal the broken places in our lives, the places where we have walked away from his kingship and his lordship. But there's a process and there's a pain of living that out. When you choose to move outside of God's will for your life, God still loves you. God claims you as his own, but there are consequences. You've moved into a place where you're so much more susceptible to lies. Some of you have never received Jesus into your life. You have never chosen to become a citizen of God's country. You've never chosen to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. You've never said to Jesus, "You are my king," or "You are my Lord." You said, I think I'm going to run my own life for a while. And you've held God off. I want you to know that God says, citizenship is open for you. I want to invite you into this place of love and grace and peace. But you're going to have to trust me that my way is best. And you're going to have to proclaim me as Lord, as king of your life. As we looked at last week, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We're confessing that Jesus is Lord. If that's you today and you want to come into the kingdom, I know that Jesus is standing with his arms open wide and says, "I would love to have you here." There are many of you who are here today, in fact, most of you, who have made that choice. You put your faith and your trust in Jesus. You believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You've proclaimed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. But you also know that there's a few areas in your life where you said, in those areas, you're not the boss of me. And you've moved away from his kingdom. Today is Christ the King Sunday. Would you reaffirm that he is the king of your life? Would you give back the places that you have taken into your own hands? Will you reaffirm in your heart and to him that his ways are the best ways? Will you choose to trust him even when you can't see how it all works out? I know the battle is significant. Jesus told us that Satan is a liar and the father of lies, and when he lies, he speaks his native language. He often whispers and sometimes yells in our ear that you can't trust God and his ways. You could make better choices for your life than God can, but he's a father of lies. Will you renounce his lies and choose to proclaim Christ the King? You are my King. In a moment, we're going to pray, and there are some things that you might need to make right with God. In these moments of silence, I'm praying that God will be at work in your life and that you'll find that he has his arms open wide. In fact, you'll find that he wants to begin the journey of healing with you. Hear the words of Jesus, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Will you say, Jesus, I believe that about you. I believe in the full life that comes from you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in this time, I pray for those who have yet to invite you into their life. I ask that you would help them to take steps towards you today. Lord, I pray for those who have invited you into their life and they've proclaimed you king, but there are certain areas that they haven't allowed your authority to rule and reign. They believe the lies. Lord, even today, I pray that you would show them what the lies are and what the truth is. And would you reaffirm that, to them that your way is the best way? Lord Jesus, I ask that you would come and give us this great trust in you rather than trust in our own ways, in our own authority, where in fact we have been deceived. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.